So I'll restate. So who are the third parties that may be responsible for things that go wrong related to blockchain? Is that a fair representation? So I think we're in early days on this, but I will say that I think Lacey and I both, just for purposes of simplicity, have been talking a lot when we talk about blockchain, just assuming a Bitcoin architecture. And that's actually not really the architecture you want to be thinking through from a legal perspective on these third-party issues, because Bitcoin is unique in that we don't know the individuals that actually started it. Someone started it and put it out into the world, but there's no one who's really ultimately, you know, that from a legal standpoint, you could try to drive to and say, we're going to hold you accountable. Every other blockchain that's gotten started, when they saw how much money the person who started Bitcoin would have made if they were still around and accessing their Bitcoin, wants to have the ability to, you know, make money off of their coins appreciation and value or the use of their blockchain, et cetera. So there's always a foundation or something associated with the blockchain that ostensibly says, we don't own it, we can't control it, but we're going to try to help facilitate it and make sure people are using it, and, you know, we'll help people who want to develop on it or something like that. And my view is that those are the folks that are going to be ground zero for regulators, lawsuits, et cetera, because typically those foundations house the person who started the blockchain, the person who, you know, conceived of the underlying technology and things like that. I think that those folks will try to resist by saying, look, I'm not ultimately responsible for this. You're conceiving of this wrongly, but I think the law will hold them accountable or try to.
There's a very interesting debate on this that's on Twitter a lot. There's a professor in San Antonio, Angela Walsh, and she really has done a lot of great work in researching, like, are the people who maintain different blockchains, the Ethereum Foundation being one, are they fiduciaries? And what disclosure, she argues yes, like what type of disclosure, what type of actions do they need to take as fiduciaries? It's, I think, understood that most people in the space disagree with her. She makes a really good argument, has done a significant amount of research on this. I will add to Sean's point, I think who ultimately is held responsible is the person that has the most money. A lot of things with blockchain get really scary. You know, there's all these things you can do with blockchain, and they're, you know, people are anonymous, and you can go on the dark web and blah, blah. The dark web's been around for a very long time, and most normal people have no idea how to access it, and blockchain's the same way. Like, most normal people are not going to be interacting with blockchain just directly with, let's say, the Bitcoin blockchain. There's some sort of intermediary in the middle. There's someone that is going to see a marketplace to offer services. And I don't think in a real world you can escape that. And so those people, I think, you know, if they're the ones making money, they will be the ones that are held responsible. I'm saying that to access the core blockchain, there'll need to be intermediaries or different companies that build products or ways to access it, and those people will most likely be the ones held responsible. But in a Bitcoin place, there's no one to hold responsible. I mean, that person the identity is unknown.
Yeah, I agree with Lacey. I think one other way to think about this from a tech level is that a lot of what exists with blockchain right now is similar to the first layer of the internet. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, you know, all the tech folks were excited about the first level of the internet and thought that we would all go out, make our own websites, do all of our own stuff, you know, really dig in and just, you know, change the world with the first layer of the internet. And nobody, you know, no ordinary person, me included, cared until you could go on, you know, preset software and go, oh yeah, I can search on Google, I can do that, you know, like the point at which that was about three or four different layers of code in between the first layer of the internet and actual people being able to utilize it and really make it work to do something they cared about. And I think blockchain's in a similar sort of circumstance. So I think that's another way of framing what Lacey's saying, is that once you get all these intermediaries that are making accessible a lot of the things that blockchain can do, they're going to be in line, I think, for holding that back.
So as a lawyer and, you know, talking about smart contracts and liability, should I be concerned that one of these is going to come across my desk and cause me some heartache?
I say yes.
Go on.
So like I said, I believe that there are smart contracts out there that are dealing with people and companies' legal rights. And I've done a little bit of research as to what state bars say and, you know, other groups that have been held accountable for the unauthorized practice of law. So I think this will become an issue at some point. I think attorneys will, I guess, there will be a request for attorneys who know this space and who know how to read a smart contract and understand what they're binding their client to. I don't think from a business standpoint it's avoidable, or it's something that like we can trust an interpreter on, just because it's not a contract laying out what we're all going to do. It's a contract laying out that and actually doing it. So I just think the risk there is too much when we start seeing more enterprise and more money being transacted, that lawyers not only will be requested by clients to review it. I don't know what malpractice insurance would sign off on that right now if you weren't deep into code and understood how it worked in accordance with our law. And I also, it's a long shot, but I think the state bar would take issue with that at some point as well.